We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. This is Aaron Barzilai coming to you with a special edition of the Her Hoop Stats podcast. We're here in Cleveland. This is the first of probably a few podcasts we're hoping to record over the next few days for your enjoyment. I'm here today. I've got Megan Gower.
Oh, you want me to say hi? Yeah.
You need to talk during this podcast.
I'm not used to having to respond to being introduced. Sorry.
Okay. Welcome, Megan. Calvin Wetzel.
Hi.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Daddy Barlady.
How you Always doing? A pleasure to be here. Good to see you, Aaron.
It is. Oh, well, I have not been to Cleveland before. Have you been here before?
Yeah, no, my partner's from Cleveland. Love the city. I think it's one of the most underrated cities in the Midwest, maybe in the country. Yeah, love Cleveland.
I have been impressed by, like, the city itself looks very grand. I have not seen any people downtown, so it does not feel like the fans have arrived yet.
It's very empty.
Yeah. I feel like tomorrow it'll be better, but yeah, today, especially this morning, I went to the store, very empty.
My only concern is, I said that yesterday about today, but I mean, surely there's going to be tons of people descending on Cleveland. There's decent signage. You flew in, right? You said that you felt like there was good signage in the airport and stuff.
There was a lot of signs all around the airport. I noticed it even being in my delirious state in the night last night. So it was definitely well signed.
So, I mean, there's definitely energy. All the media inside the arena today, it was open for press conferences. The media could watch parts of open practice. I went to there was like an ESPN breakfast for media where you could talk to their on-air talent. So it does. I'm personally feeling the energy. It's great to see you guys, see everybody in the media that we often only see as we do our, you know, the four of us once a year, twice a year, depending on how many of the events you're going to. I heard a lot of tales from Albany. That was quite the adventure, as Rebecca Lobo would tell us. And but I think we're all very excited for a couple of great games on Friday night. So didn't want to go too long on the podcast. I thought I'd open with one question for you, something I've been thinking about a lot. And Wes Moore today in his press conference, actually, he made the comment that he thought South Carolina was better this year than they were last year. So I wanted to ask each of you whether you agree with that statement. Do you think South Carolina is a better team this year than last year?
You guys want to start?
Sure, I'll start off. I think it's a super interesting question. It's something that I've been wrestling with for quite a couple of weeks, honestly, at this point. I feel like last year's South Carolina team, if you want to talk about two teams in terms of the talent of the individual players, and obviously you have most of the bench returning as starters this year, so there's that. But I think that in terms of a talented group of individuals, last year's team has the edge. I mean, you have Aaliyah Boston, which in itself sets it so far over with the talent question. But in terms of the composition of a team and in terms of how they play together and the reality of what happens on the floor every game, I do think this year South Carolina is a better team. I think the three-point shooting is the big X factor with that. It was fairly non-existent last year. Ultimately, that was their downfall. And now they're top five in the country in that stat. It's been an amazing turnaround. Major credit to Dom for that. Me and Calvin have talked a lot about one of the most impressive things a college coach can do in any sport is be adaptable and not be so fixed in their system and in their way of doing things. And I think that Dom has shown a tremendous ability to, you know, respond to what happened to the team last year. Add the pieces both in terms of recruiting and in terms of the portal that they needed to address it. And yeah, I phrased this to myself once as if both teams, South Carolina in 2023 and 2024, played each other with clones of the repeated players, I do think the 2024 team wins because of the shooting.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, it's interesting you said that about the adaptability, because that was definitely a theme of the South Carolina press conference. I forget if you were there or not, but it was quite clear that, you know, Dodd had tried to loosen up slightly, was kind of the impression, and really felt like she had to adapt because the team was so young. What do you think, Calvin? I guess we'll go on in order.
I shouldn't let Danny go first because Danny took everything out.
I stole Calvin's talking point.
Which is not surprising.
This is the danger of being so close to another analyst.
Exactly. We have these conversations all the time, and we've had that conversation specifically about, you know, cloning the duplicate players, put them on the same court, who's winning. And I agree. We haven't really talked about the individual talent, I don't think, but I agree that last year's team did have more individual talent. I think if you put those two teams together, Aaliyah Boston is the best player on either team last year's or this year's. But when you look at versatility and being able to win in different ways, I think this year's team is better because of bringing in Tahina Pau-Pau, who brings so much in terms of shooting and handling on the perimeter. And then Mylaysia Fawiley coming off the bench. Mm. And I said this on a podcast with Danny the other day. I think she would start on 359 teams in the country, but not on this one because of how talented they are. So I think especially when you look at their perimeter and their guard play, I think this year's better. Aaliyah Boston, like I said, gave last year's team probably an edge in the post, although last year's team also had Camila Cardoso on the bench, so that gives you like an edge in depth too. But still, just when you put all the pieces together, that each team has some different boxes that they check advantage-wise, I think this year's team checks more and this year's team will win.
I'm not saying I don't think this year's team can win at all, because they certainly can, but I do think that last year's team is better. Talent-wise, like you guys said, obviously, I just think you have how many players that are currently playing in the WNBA now. So I think that's just quite the edge talent-wise, and then experience-wise too. This is still a really young team. And like, they've done a lot of great things, but I think you even saw like in the Indiana game, right? They went up 20 points and then they just let that margin slip away. And obviously a lot of credit to Indiana, but I think a lot of that was too just like a lack of mental discipline somewhat in that game. So I think we've seen that sometimes. They can beat you in more ways because they have the perimeter shooting, but I think last year's team was just so good at what they did that like it was such a huge upset for them to lose, and it'll be a huge upset if they lose this year. But I still think last year's team's better.
Oh, cool. I'm glad we don't all agree. I think I'm with you. I'm with you, Megan. Yeah, I was going to say, right, because we ran the Her Hoop Stats model, you know, basically effectively on Selection Sunday last year. And I think last year South Carolina had like a 60% chance to win it all before the tournament started versus 40 this year, right, which – sort of, I mean, it's not the perfect measure, but it's kind of one indicator. One other question, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I asked a few media folks this yesterday. How many future WNBA players do you think are on this South Carolina roster, like any year? They don't have to be, not playing next year. And by on a WNBA roster, we had said maybe play a full season. So not sign a training camp contract, not sign a 7-day, but just like actual W, like longer, medium to long term. WNBA players.
I'm just mentally going through my head right now. Cardoso for sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Pau-Pau for sure. Fawiley for sure. Who else?
I think,
who else is a lock?
I don't know.
It's hard to say because they're Watkins? So young.
Yeah, I think Watkins will really play at least one full season. I don't know if it's going to. She might go overseas for a while. She might have like an AU career before she plays at the W, but I think she'll get there for at least one full season.
Yeah, I could see her.
Like that's involved. Four.
That's four.
Yeah, well, that was it, what we were. Like you said, they're so
they're
young.
They're so young. It's really hard to tell. Right,
Dawn
now.
Is so good at developing players and retaining them to be able to develop them for 3 or 4 years. That there are players who can come in and not play a lot as freshmen and sophomores on South Carolina who end up by their senior year becoming WNBA prospects. Right. So there's definitely going to be more that we maybe don't even see right now.
Right.
But
I think that, and also the question of, like, I think a lot of, like, how many players are going to be in the WNBA right now is, like, a league expansion question.
That's true.
That's a great point.
Actually, there might be a little bit of a benefit of that from next year.
Cool. Okay, sweet. So
with that in mind, actually, I'm willing to throw Bree Hall into the mix.
Yeah,
for sure. With the expanding number of roster spots coming within the next 5 years, I think Bree makes it.
Gotcha. You think Pop has a lock?
I do. Absolutely locked.
Yeah.
She's great.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Great. Good. Cool. Okay, sweet. So in the later game, Iowa-UConn, a lot of excitement there, really about the stars, Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers. Depending on who you read, you might think that, Megan, you're a UConn homer. Some people might think you're a UConn hater.
Right. According to our comment section, I'm a UConn hater.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, I think that means you're doing it well. But I would guess most of us would say, if you were doing this like the old TV style, like who's got the advantage, right? The Beckers versus Clark thing is mostly a neutral, right? I think we kind of think they're roughly, going to cancel each other out as far as their total contribution.
I don't totally agree with that. Like, I don't think Paige is going to score 40 points. And that's not what makes Paige good, right? Like, if Paige has to score 40 points, like, UConn's probably struggling. So I don't think they totally cancel each other out in terms of production. But I still think the question that you're going to ask next is, a relevant question for the matchup.
I think it's really going to be – so, right, so my theory is, it's really going to be determined by
players
2 through 7, 2 through 8, right? And so which team do you think has the advantage of players other than Beckers and Clark? Do you want to go first, Megan, this time?
I was going to say, I think UConn has the very clear number two option.
Yes. Aaliyah Edwards is easily the third best player on the floor.
Yeah.
Without question.
For sure.
What are you expecting from her tomorrow night?
I think she's going to have a big night. I think we've seen this Iowa team struggle to guard a lot of post players this year. If you look at their losses this season, it's Cody McMahon going off for 33, Aoki Lee having 24. There's a third one that I'm forgetting off the top of my head right now, but it's a similar situation. So I expect her to have an advantage in the lane, especially because she's bigger than Hannah Stuckey. She has more experience than Hannah Stuckey. She's all American, right? She's that caliber of player. So when you go back to the, who has the advantage, though, I don't think it even comes down to, the number two. Because I think Paige and Aaliyah probably cancel Caitlin, and then it's the 3 through 5 for UConn and 2 through 4 for Iowa.
Oh, really?
I think that's an excellent point, yeah.
Who do you think would win in a 2-on-2 match, Caitlin and... Well, your player versus Beckers and we're playing.
What are we saying? Like WNBA Caitlin and Hannah.
I think it's
got to be Hannah.
I think Paige probably.
It's 1-2 UConn is rocking.
So if you go too deep, we think UConn has the advantage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, Calvin, you don't look like you're all there.
Clearly, Aaliyah Edwards is the third best player on the floor. But if they played 2-on-2, I don't think it's like a lock that for either side.
Kaylin could just
Kaylin can go off on her own and 2-on-2
jacking it up. Yeah,
Hannah Stolge does play really well with Kaylin. Like, I mean, I think it would be the case translates 2-on-2, although maybe not, because part of that is in transition, which I'm sure you're not playing full court 2-on-2.
I hope not.
But like, Hannah Stolke doesn't get enough love, I will say, for being like the biggest reason why Kaitlyn gets all the get ahead assists that they always talk about on air.
Do we all call those get ahead? I always call those hit ahead when I was playing.
You're old, Aaron. I don't know.
I am old. We were talking about that the other night. Either of these
the transition
in Albany, so they were talking about it a lot during the broadcast.
Yeah, I missed the broadcast.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them, Caitlin's not getting those. If people like Hannah Stolke and Kate Martin does this too, don't bust it after every possession and beat people down the floor. How many times did they beat LSU down the floor and get those easy layups?
Absolutely.
So. I think they actually Iowa supporting cast is like a little bit underrated to me, that people always talk about. It's like Kaitlyn and nobody. I don't think it's nobody, but I still agree. Like, UConn definitely has the talent advantage, two through whatever. Maybe not the depth, because they don't have healthy bodies.
Right?
You
said 2-3
Yeah,
they have any players available.
No, they don't
think
technically yes. They do. Okay. Ina Betancourt is available. Poor girl.
They do not have
keep,
nine.
They keep saying
but
seven.
They play seven.
they play seven. Well, they play. Six mostly. They played seven against USD.
I feel like we've seen them in the Final Four play six in years past, right? So that's not totally hard. So seven's a luxury, but that's it. So you guys all agree though that UConn has the advantage in terms of
I think that in terms of depth after their two stars, UConn does. But I think that if you're looking like down the roster, I think Iowa has the bodies, honestly, for as fast-paced a game as I think it's going to be. It's honestly about spelling your stars, and I think in that terms, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah, I think Iowa has an advantage in terms of experience, too. You're talking about players like Kate Martin and Gavin Marshall that are seniors versus UConn is relying on, after Leah Edwards, Paige Beckers, and then Nika Mule, it's all freshmen.
And Iowa's supporting cast, to me, like, plays more than the sum of their parts. Like, they play so well off of Kaitlyn and with Kaitlyn, and especially those two you mentioned who've been playing with Kaitlyn for 4 years. So that's why I keep saying the word talent, because I think Iowa's supporting cast plays kind of bigger than their talent when you put them with Kaitlyn and they fit well. But talent wise, definitely don't have what UConn has.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Are you, do you have any exciting predictions you want to share, or are you feeling confident one way or the other?
I think it's not a toss up, honestly.
I lean Iowa, but I do think that I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be like 2-possession game at most, 3-possession game at most. But yeah, just because of the depth thing and just how on a mission Iowa has been in this tournament, I just have them coming out. Not to say that UConn doesn't want it. Obviously, everybody wants it.
I will say though, right? I mean, UConn still, their best win, right, was Southern Cal.
Yeah.
And so they definitely have struggled a lot of other good teams this season. So it's going to be interesting to see if they kind of benefited from their region.
Yeah. I think like the storyline of they've struggled against like good teams has gotten a little overdone, because like half of those games were in November when Paige was 3 games off of an ACL tear. She's not playing like she was playing in November right now.
She's playing like no one's ever played before, literally.
Exactly. Yeah. She's on a whole other level, and I think, I get why that's the storyline, but like, I think people kind of forget that she was coming off a major injury, and like, she wasn't this Paige in November, December.
Cool. Great. Well, I think otherwise, we don't need to go too long. I just kind of, if you had any other, I would love to hear your impressions, maybe Megan, if you want to start, about the day we were at the arena for a pretty good chunk of it, and just kind of the vibes of being here in Cleveland.
It's good so far. There's a lot of signage all around the city, which is nice. The arena seems nice. It's smaller than I expected. Like, it feels much smaller in there than it feels in the Dallas arena. I have no idea if it's actually smaller. It just feels that way. And my like main takeaway is that their like Jumbotron screen is literally the biggest Jumbotron I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's definitely super exciting, right, to be in the media workroom. And there was like an ESPN breakfast this morning that the media were invited to, and just the energy of all the people that are here. I mean, it feels like a reunion. feels like, you know, just a celebration. And so it's been interesting to see. There's definitely much more media, the people following Iowa around. It's palpable compared to the other teams. I mean, there's interest in UConn. There's interest in South Carolina. But I heard Dawn Staley say something to the effect of, and it's not a quote, but I think someone had asked a question around kind of the coverage and her theory. She said, like, she used to get a little maybe more hung up on it and less. She's like, they're going to talk about us when they need to talk about us, right? Maybe everyone's kind of tired of the South Carolina storyline. And, you know, presumably the implication was excited about Iowa. And she's just kind of waiting for them, you know, to get to the Final Four, to get to the final game. And, you know, as long as they're talking about the team triumphantly at the end of Sunday night, you know, I think she's going to be happy. That seemed to be her theory. So, but yeah, no, I think it's been great to see the growth, the interest. Everyone's talking about the players are talking about the ratings. I wasn't sure how plugged in they were going to be to that fund as well.
They're all on the internet. It's kind of hard to avoid.
I guess. Yeah, it's definitely been an amazing year. Everyone's, you know, raving. That's for sure. So I don't know. I'm excited. Excited for the games. We'll see how late at night it is. Friday night, I guess. Tip for that second game is going to be probably close to 9:30. So should wrap around 11:30, and then yeah, you know, we'll be here all weekend. So follow along with us at Her Hoop Stats. And do you want to say anything? Parting words?
I don't got anything.
I got nothing either.
Very energetic.
That's a wrap.
Great hanging out with you.
Yeah,
all.
No, it's gonna be a great weekend of hoop. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, everybody.